I'm here at FinTech Finals with Jacob from Revolut. Jacob, tell us what your company does and how it makes money.
Hey Eduardo, thanks for having me. I'm from Revolut, so we are a global money app.
A global money app?
Yes, we're a global money app that is linked to a prepaid MasterCard or Visa card. Mm-hmm. And essentially what we do is we enable people to spend, send, and exchange money internationally for free. So imagine if you're going abroad right now and you have to buy different stuff, you have to withdraw money from the ATM, etc. Your current bank gives you a very unfavorable conditions.
Absolutely.
When it comes to FX. It charges you extra fees for every single transaction that you make or ATM withdrawal. Mm-hmm. What we do is we're literally democratizing finance, so allowing you to do all this stuff at cost.
So is that with a physical card, a real card, or is that with a digital card?
Yes, so that's a good question, because it comes with a physical card that whenever you download the app, you have to order. But right away after registering and going through the onboarding process, you will get a virtual card as well.
So you start with a virtual card, and then you can order the physical card if you want.
Exactly.
So is it branded with MasterCard or something like that?
Yes, so you will have a Revolut logo and a Visa or a MasterCard logo at the same time.
Okay, so then I received that card as a user, and I travel to another country, and I can use it to pay in a shop. I can use it to pay at the withdraw money at the ATM or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I can shop online in different currencies as well. But how do I manage the money that's inside? Do I send it? How does it work?
Yeah. So basically, because it's a prepaid card, what you have to do is you have to top it up. So imagine it is on your, what you will have is on your mobile phone. Within our app, you have a money wallet, a multi-currency wallet, in which you can hold up to 27 different currencies, and you can top it up with your local currency, either by another card that you have, or a bank transfer. What we're also looking at in other countries is replicating the UK setup, where you can also use Apple Pay and Android Pay to top up your wallet. And then, for example, if you top up your card with British pounds, you can in seconds change it to any other of these 27 different currencies, and you can buy in every single currency around the world that automatically will change in the app and charge your card from your basic currency.
So you said it's at cost, meaning you guys don't make any margin, you have to make money.
Yeah, so let me surprise you, by all the transactions that you're making, we're not making any margin. Basically, the FX rate that we're giving to you is at cost, and it's exactly the same rate that banks are paying to each other. So it's called the interbank rate.
Absolutely. So that takes me to your business model. What's your business model? How are you guys making money?
So we're actually our B2C model.
Yeah.
How we're making money is our main source of revenue is the interchange fee. So basically, when you buy a coffee at Starbucks, Starbucks, through Visa or MasterCard, pays us back the 2% or depending on the country of the transaction for accepting our card. So this is the main source of our revenues. We also charge our clients, for example, for premium accounts. So the standard card usually is free, but we also have a premium tier that we charge, depending on the country, around £7-8 per month.
Okay, so before we get into the premium model, I'd like to understand a bit better how you make money. So if I go to Starbucks, Starbucks will pay a 2% fee to Visa to receive my money through my card, right?
Exactly.
And so you taking part of that amount?
Yes.
And that's a deal that you guys made with the credit card producers?
Yes. So this is basically an interchange fee is a part of a deal that we're having together with Visa and MasterCard. So it depends on lots of different factors. Depending on, for example, where do you spend your money at? Mm-hmm. How is the merchant classified by Visa or MasterCard, etc.? Mm-hmm. And based on this, this is how the interchange fee is being calculated that goes back to us.
Okay.
Yeah. So it incentivizes issuers like Revolut to basically producing cards so that they're also getting business out of it.
Okay. So for market share.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. That's fantastic. So it means that from a user perspective, is this going to change in the future? Is there going to be new fees, or is the model going to continue like this with, I mean, as a user benefiting from bank interchange rate is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And it's not going to change because at the end of the day, the user does not pay anything to us, right? If you're using our card, you can get it for free. You can send money for free. You're exchanging money for free. You're withdrawing money from the ATM for free. And this is the part of the bigger vision that we're having of democratizing finance, of allowing people to move money globally for free, which before was a nightmare in most of the cases. And this is a very big revenue stream for the banks. What we're trying to do is we're saying, look, we're launching so many different things at the same time and want to make people use only one app to manage all their finances in one place.
Okay. What's the backstory of the company? Who launched it? When? And do you know what's the seed of the idea?
Yeah, so it's a great story, actually. So our CEO, our CEO's name is Nikolai Storonsky, and he's an ex-investment banker from Credit Suisse. And he came up with the idea of Revolut in 2015 when he was going to for his vacations in Las Vegas. So when he had, of course, a great time over there, he was using his UK-issued card in the US. So he was very surprised, to say at least, when he came back and when he saw how much money he was charged for not only spending money on goods and services in Las Vegas, but also on the bank that was charging him a lot of different fees. And when he was looking at the FX rate in between British pounds that he had the money in on his account to US dollars that he was spending, he found it that it was far away from what the market price was for this exchange at this time. So of course it's a great story because
the typical I got pissed by the quality of the service that I didn't like
and the price of the service
and the
exactly.
price so I wanted to change that. So do you know what's the step it took after that to get things moving? Because many people probably had the same idea, but there's a big difference between the idea and the execution.
Yeah, so I think the part of why Revolut is so successful right now in Europe is that he managed to get very strong team on board right away. So we have a very strong CTO that used to work also in the city, and he was working in investment banks, but on the technical side. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a very good first step to take to find a great co-founder to your business that understands what business needs and has been in the industry, has seen why it has not been innovating enough compared to all the other different sectors, for example, like retail with e-commerce, etc. Here you have a guy that has a great technical knowledge, expertise in the financial services area that brought on board, understood the vision, understood where the product is having its unique selling proposition. So I think definitely that's the next step. And of course, investors. When you look at the first early investors of the company, we are backed by same investors that used to invest in Skype, invested in Facebook, mm-hmm. in MySQL, etc. So not only in the very beginning, they helped the company to operate with the initial funding, but also a lot of know-how, and it's basically smart money that came in.
So he went on to find a strong technical co-founder. So he has the business understanding. He went on to find a strong business co-founder and built a strong team, got the right type of investors, which takes me to how much money did the company raise so far?
Yeah, so I think altogether we, in July 2017, we have raised a record Series B of $66 million. And as mentioned, this came from strategic investors such as Index Ventures from London, Balderton mm-hmm. Capital from the US, and Ribbit Capital mm-hmm. From US. And frankly, it's great because it basically allowed the company to expand internationally and to develop the product further. The good thing is that we are extremely lean when it comes to our cost side. And we are booming on the revenue side, which makes us very close to break even very soon. So if everything goes well, we might not have to raise ridiculous amounts of money in the future just to stay alive. But we'll be able to, of course, self-sustain to some extent and to only raise money from strategic investors moving on at a very healthy valuation that is going to speed up and fuel our growth internationally.
How many users is there globally now?
So imagine that right now we are at 1.4 million people, only in Europe. So we're only operating in Europe at the moment, from which 400,000 of these clients came in the last 2 months. Wow. So just in December 2017, we have released the news that we crossed 1 million users. Since then, we got 400,000 new users. So
do they all have a physical card?
No, not all of them. Some of them, most of them have a physical card, but there are some users that use us only from the app.
Yeah.
So they can, what they can do is they can send money from the app level,
mm-hmm.
but they also can use our virtual account, virtual card that they can use on e-commerce purchases, for example.
Do I understand correctly that people right now in Asia can have the card, but they can if they are of certain country origins?
So part of also my job is to make sure that residents of Asian countries are able to use Revolut.
Mm-hmm. So you're leading the Asia expansion, that's
correct? Exactly, yes. And for now, only people that are permanent residents within the European Union countries can use our service. But what my job is about is to launch it in countries such as Singapore, such as Hong Kong, such as later on other markets in Asia, so that citizens or permanent residents of these countries mm-hmm. can use our service as well.
You just said the people who are permanent residents of European countries. So in my case, for example, I'm a Portuguese citizen but not resident there. Can I still get a card?
Yes, you can still, because you're a citizen.
Citizen and resident.
Exactly, and permanent resident.
Okay. So for example, an American citizen who is based...
Who has the right to work, for example, in the UK,
yeah.
will still be able to get our card.
Yeah. So where is the user base at? Is it
yeah.
Europe? Mainly Europe? Is there something in the US? Because I heard most of the investors are... American typical
yeah.
investors.
So it's mostly European. So of course there is a fraction of people that are having the right to work or study in Europe that
mm-hmm.
are having our cards.
Okay.
But majority of them are European Union citizens. And when it comes to the most popular countries of Revolut users, of course the primary one is UK. But then we're looking at France. As our second market,
mm-hmm.
and then we're looking at countries like Spain, Germany, Poland, that are altogether our top five countries.
Okay. How many people work for Revolut right now, and what's the breakdown in terms of functions?
More or less, we can say that at Revolut we have around 250 people working for us globally. Out of them, they're split into three main offices. Offices in three main countries. So the headquarter is in London,
mm-hmm.
where we have all the business functions basically located at. We have our support function and compliance in Krakow, Poland. That is a third of all the employees. And we also have product and development based out of Russia, both in Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Yes.
That altogether also accounts for a third of all the employees. So you can imagine around 80 employees in every single location, in every single country.
Are you going to hire people this year
yeah.
in Asia? Because the audience of the 27 podcast is in Asia. Are you going to hire people? What type of people
yes.
do you want them to reach out to you?
Yes, feel free to reach out to me at jacob@revolut.com.
That's J-A-K-U-B.
Yes, jakub@revolut.com. We are currently hiring for positions in Singapore and in Hong Kong, as these will be the two first countries that we're going to launch in. Singapore, hopefully end of Q1, beginning of Q2. And in Hong Kong, probably is going to be in Q3 of 2018. And both of these locations, we're looking for country managers. So people that are having, that have financial experience and the experience of successfully growing startups in these particular countries. As well as we're looking at for PR community managers that are going to basically help us with the organic user acquisition.
Okay, that's amazing. So, jakub@revolut.com.
Yes,
yeah?
Exactly.
Cool. Now, let's go into a bit more personal questions. So since we've covered the Revolut side, as an entrepreneur, before joining Revolut, you helped launching Lazada in Singapore, I believe, and before, after that, you work with EasyShip, which is recognized as the number one startup in Hong Kong.
That's correct.
By I don't know which source, but I know it's I know it's recognized. I can't remember who said that. But anyways, before you went through the entrepreneurial path, you know, what did you wish you knew? That could have helped you better cope with the, you know, the stress of the entrepreneurship life. Or
I think during the my journey with working in fast-paced startups, the thing that I learned very early and I wish I knew before because that would save me a lot of stress, is that it's normal to fail. And that actually the success comes from making sure that keep on knocking on the doors that are close to you. Basically, what you have to do is you have to be persistent in making sure that you achieve the goals that you want, even if it doesn't work in the first at the first try, second, third one. What I learned very quickly is that if you really want to achieve something, everything can be done. It just takes a little bit time and a little bit more effort than probably you initially thought.
Mm-hmm. So rejection is the start, not the end.
Yes.
And failing is normal. So it's interesting because we had that lesson as well in the interview with Michelle from Portfolio Quest and in other podcast interviews as well. It's just that the culture in certain places where we grew up, I mean, I grew up in France, for example, and I see typically, you know, France and Switzerland, if you fail, people look at you in a way that like, well, if fail, then, you know, I'm not going to support him, invest in this year as a loser. Whereas in the US, which is, I mean, the typical entrepreneurial culture, it's clearly, oh, fail. Yeah, cool. Go fail. Then you learn something and you use it, right? And I feel like this is having an impact in the whole global culture of entrepreneurship. Now, perhaps you can tell me about someone that you know, admire, and why you admire that person. You don't need to give me the name of the person, but you can tell me about who that person is to you. And
I think instead of naming one person, what I would definitely say is that there are lots of people that are speaking at conferences like this. They're saying great stories about their companies. Mm-hmm. But I really admire people that are making all these things happen. There are people that are working on the back end, and they're the backbone of all these companies. There are people that, for example, at Revolut, that are working in our customer support. They're working in our compliance. They're making sure that our customers are happy. And these guys, you don't see them at fancy conferences like mm-hmm. this. These are the guys that are making sure that the success of a company like Revolut comes from making sure that every single customer on a daily basis is happy. And these are the people that I truly admire, the people that are not looking for attention, people that are just great at doing their job on a daily basis.
So you can go and change the world by participating in a part of the business. You don't have to be in the front. You don't have to be the CXO or whatever. You can join many startups and help them change the way the world works and make it a better place, or make at least things more efficient by using technology. And that's cool and that's great. And we need more people like this. And I'm sure there is a lot of them who listen to the E27 podcast. Jacob, that was fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. We're here today at FinTech Finals 2018. Thank you, Jacob.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.